Deep in the ocean's shadowy depths, the dwarf sperm whale drifts like a secretive submarine, small, but shrouded in mystery. This pint-sized cetacean cruises with a quiet confidence, hiding a bizarre defense mechanism that's less about fighting and more about, well, let's just say it's a real gut punch. It's a creature that's half whale, half squid, but always ready to unleash a murky masterpiece when danger looms. But sometimes the key to survival involves slipping away in a cloud of confusion, like the dwarf sperm whale here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a little big creature, but more on that later.
The biggest miniature. A bigature, you can even say.
Yeah.
The thing that made
Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings, the greatest movie of all time, The Lightning in a Bottle that will never be replicated. The gold standard.
It's true.
A bigature. All right. What are we talking about?
The problem with the gold standard, though, is like you want to try to replicate it. That's the point of a gold standard. But you can't.
It's unattainable. But that's fine. It's, you know, the extended editions, it's like 11 hours of movie that is virtually perfect, and I'll have forever. So I don't
you know
need
what could come out
to be good.
You know what could come out that that's good? The extended edition, which apparently exists.
Just like, give me more behind the scenes. I just want. Just put in the scenes that they just, like, wireframe drew. Where, like, Aragorn's fighting Sauron at the end of the movie. Like, just put it in. I don't care. Yeah, put it all in.
Do the Scouring the Shire, even though that's, like, a terrible ending to a movie.
Remove the part where Gimli farts and put in the Scouring of the Shire.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Take it. Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about a dwarf.
Yeah, that's true.
A dwarf and bowel movements.
There you go. Great.
We're topical.
We're talking about the dwarf sperm whale.
That worked out so much better than it should have.
People were thinking we were just going off on Lord of the Rings again.
But we're back.
Related. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also known as the pygmy sperm whale, which is incorrect. A pygmy sperm whale is a different species of whale, but they did think it was the same species up until like the mid-60s. And also known as the lesser sperm whale, which is rude, in my opinion. But what we're going to call it here is the caca cloudburst.
Horrifying. Not the kids, not in front of the kids.
And Moby Ick.
That's good. The literary reference is good. Would you like to have some knowledge from science?
If you have some despair.
Well, they're in the kingdom, you know, love and are in the kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Mammalia. The order is Artiodactyla. The infraorder is Cetacea. Stacy the Cetacean. The family is...
Cetacean's ma? song is terrible.
Family is Cogiidae. Cogiidae. Genus is Cogia. And the species is Sema. Cogia Sema. Or Cogia Sema?
I would say Cogia.
Cogiidae? Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Kojia, the maker of Metal Gear and Death Stranding.
Yeah.
But yeah, since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listeners' favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature. We already know it's a pot of whales. Why are we going to pretend otherwise? We're not. That's what. So instead, we're going to do this part of the show where I ask you a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature? Which in this case, for the dwarf sperm whale, is Kojia Sima. What does it mean in English? Does it mean A, old sword, B, cold gray skin, C, striped stomach skull, or D, small beautiful face?
Small beautiful face. I gotta go with that.
You are correct. It is small beautiful face. Kojia is small, apparently. This one was kind of tough. There's some debate about it, and it's unclear. But Kojia apparently means small, and then Sima is, I think, Sanskrit for beautiful face.
I'll accept it. Man, I didn't use any etymological knowledge or even try. I just heard that, and it was good, and I liked it.
It's
like
not,
choosing a football team based on your favorite animal.
They don't have Why don't they have crocodiles? Is there not the a gators. Single crocodile team?
There's gators.
Crocodiles are cooler than alligators. They're just alligators, but better.
I don't agree with that. Gators are American.
There are crocodiles in Florida, in the Everglades. So yes,
that's
true. We have American crocodiles.
Are they supposed to be here?
I think they can do whatever they want, especially the ones that go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why they're better than gators.
I think there's something endearing about a gator, though.
Cute is not.
They look like swamp puppies.
None of what you're saying resonates with me even a little bit.
Between the gator and the alligator, which one's cuter?
Between a gator and an alligator.
Between a gator and a croc, sorry.
Sure, an alligator is cuter than a crocodile, but that is not saying all that much.
It's saying something. It's 100%. In that contest, 100% goes to the gator.
That's like saying a black widow is cuter than a golden orb weaver. They're both bad. They're both something I don't want to look at.
I don't think that's true, though.
I don't know.
That's
I just true. Make.
There are cute spiders. Those jumping spiders.
Yeah, they made a whole kid show about it, Lucas the Spider. And I've seen exactly. every episode. So.
There you go.
I know about it. He's pretty cute. Anyway, we're not talking about spiders.
We're talking about whales. Do you want to know what this one looks like?
I do. I am picturing a sperm whale that fits inside of like one of those bottles that you put a ship in, like just a teeny tiny boy.
Yeah, it's that. It's a sperm whale looking thing with a compact body with a blunt head, small lower jaw, and grayish skin that may appear wrinkled, especially in older individuals. Same. same to the human race. They have a dorsal fin smaller than that of a pygmy. Smaller than their cousin, the pygmy sperm whale. And did we do the pygmy sperm whale?
I don't think so.
I seem to remember stuff about this guy. And a distinctive whitish or pinkish false gill marking behind the eye.
We have not done sperm whale. We have done the pygmy hedgehog.
Ah, I knew we did a pygmy. They do have almost like a shark-like face.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't want to like paint the picture that this looks like a like definitely like that square-headed sperm whale look. It's much more torpedo-shaped, prominent forehead.
Yes, that's true. Now, is the pygmy sperm whale? We did a whale that was a smaller version of a larger whale.
We do lots of whales. Because they're interesting.
That's true. They're good, and they all have good things to say about the world.
We've done the pilot whale. We've just recently did the Cuvier's beaked whale.
Yeah, so the pygmy sperm whale does look more like a sperm whale, but small. It's got the squared off head. It's not quite the same, but it's closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like a fish. It does have the profile of a fish. But like its relative, the pygmy sperm whale, it possesses a spermaceti organ in its head, though smaller than, it's obviously smaller than the large sperm whale. It can also expel a dark reddish brown. Is that anything we?
That is the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. That brings us to how big is it? It's lesser. How lesser?
Diminutive.
Welcome to the Love the Measure Up segment, the official listeners' part of the show, the part of the show that is introduced, or that it's when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure of measure this week, but that means you get to hear from a whale. Carlos gets to guess who it is.
Nice.
Without further ado, the listener's part of the show after this ad I don't want to hear.
Pandemic Forest Fairy Eyes was the biggest discovery in all musical history. Just imagine a whale singing opera on the very stage of the Met.
The singer was the whale. Who is that whale?
I don't know. It sounds old. It sounded like the guy, the narrator for The Twilight Zone.
Could be.
Just imagine a whale singing opera at the Met.
It is The Whale Who Sang Opera, a Disney cartoon, 1946. I think the whale's name was Willie.
That was before my time.
Yeah, same. But I did have a videotape of this when I was a kid. It was with the Ferdinand, the bull. It was a two-parter. So every time I came to my grandma's house, I learned about Ferdinand the bull.
See, and when I went to my grandma's house, we watched Song of the South. So I just got a very different experience than you.
Oh, wow. Willie the Operatic Whale. Yeah. Okay. That's what his name is. Cool. He sings opera. Let's talk about the length of these guys. They're 89 feet. And by 89, I mean 8.9 feet or 2.
That's a big difference.
0.7 meters. How many of these go into these other things? Which is correct? A, 3.5 Pacific manta ray discs go into the length of a dwarf sperm whale. B, 40.5 dwarf sperm whales go into the length of the HMAS Sydney's anchor chain.
You're all about
Her Majesty's.
Like, I feel like
Australian.
This is like the fourth time you've had me estimate the length of an anchor chain.
Hey, it's a different ship, and it's an Australian ship, I think.
Do they need longer anchor chains or shorter ones?
Well, the water is probably pretty deep around Australia.
Yeah, but probably this.
You got to get to the bottom of the ocean, as we learned last time.
It doesn't need to go all the way down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Or see 4.2 green sea turtles go into the length of a dwarf sperm whale.
Green sea turtles. Sea turtles.
You were doing a 4-foot sea turtle and you're like measuring it out?
No, I was doing a 2-foot sea turtle. You said four of them. True. 4.2 of them, yeah. Right? That would be about 2 feet. A little over 2 feet. That makes sense to me. Yeah.
The correct answer is 40.5 dwarf sperm whales go into the Sydney's anchor chain.
I'm never going to remember how long anchor chains are.
360 feet. The green sea turtle is about 4 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. Green sea turtles are pretty big.
I think I must be. There's one that's tends to be a bit smaller, and that's the one I'm thinking of.
Well, the dwarf sperm whale weighs 600 pounds. So if you thought it was a small fry.
Ooh, I should have called this one My 600-Pound Life.
Yeah.
Which is a reality show I've watched too much of.
I think one of the sisters in the 1,000-Pound Sisters just died.
Oh, really? That show does not have a lot of happy endings, unfortunately.
She lost all the weight. Or a lot of it. But anyway. 600 pounds. How many of these go into this animal or vice versa? A, 22 Hawaiian monk seal pups go into the weight of a dwarf sperm whale. B, 2.3 dwarf sperm whales go into the weight of the SS Yongala's anchor.
Don't not do the chain, to me.
The anchor itself. C, 3 giant clams go into the weight of a dwarf sperm whale. Anchors are pretty heavy.
They are heavy. They probably have to.
They gotta get to the bottom of the ocean.
They gotta get to the bottom of the ocean. They have to weigh as much as the ship. So. So otherwise, the ship's just gonna pull it along, right?
That's how things work.
Yep, that's how physics works.
That's the fish hook on the end of a line has to be as heavy as
you. You and the pole, yes. But I'm not floating. It has to be heavy as me, the pole, the. No, that doesn't work. Because we're not. The fish hook is not trying to stop me and my boat from moving. If it was, then it would have to be that heavy, obviously.
But if it was as heavy as a floating thing. When you pulled it up, wouldn't you just sink? Wouldn't you, like, meet in the middle?
Yes, if it was that heavy, we would meet in the middle. We would find equilibrium 1,000 feet below the surface.
No, because there's also buoyancy to consider.
I hadn't thought of buoyancy. Oh, never mind. I'm going with the Hawaiian monk seal because I'd never heard of that before, and I want to know more.
Well, the final answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer is giant clams. 3 giant clams. But newborn Hawaiian monk seal pup is found in the Pacific waters and weighs about 30 pounds.
The Hawaiian monk seal in the Pacific? No way. That sounds cool, though. Like, I don't know. I've never heard of a monk seal.
It cloisters. You wouldn't know about it. It just stays in monasteries.
It's very pious.
Have you ever seen the picture of the seal? The seal with a eel up its nose?
No.
There's like a famous photo of a seal.
I don't trust any photos now. Is it a picture of Seal the singer with an eel up his nose?
It's not. It's actually technically not up its nose. I think it's biting its nostril, but it looks like he's just snorting straight eel.
Yep. That's
insufflating.
That's an eel. Snorting some Elon. But that,
That is a Hawaiian monk seal, if you've ever seen that photo. They look nice, these guys.
Interesting.
They look kindly.
Seals tend to do that.
They see, look when you, kindly, but then not be?
No, they look kindly and are. They're seals.
No, well, leopard seals are quite mean.
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, to penguins.
And to people, like,
they'll bite. Are they?
You. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, they're not. They don't attack, but if you get too close, it's like getting too close to a wolf or a dog. You don't know, you know. Like it's dangerous. They're predators.
They're sea
wolves.
Ocean
wolves. Mm-hmm.
All right. Three giant clams going to the weight of a dwarf sperm whale.
A giant clam is about 200 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did the math.
There you go. Well, would you like to hear some fast facts?
Yes.
Where do they live? They are found in deep waters, typically over 1,000 meters down, along continental shelves and slopes in tropical and temperate regions, including the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. Rarely, they're seen near shores, except in areas with deep water close to land, like parts of the Gulf of Mexico, I mean Gulf of America, or the Caribbean. capable of deep, they're good at deep diving down to 300 meters or 1,000 feet or more. Did I say? They're found in waters 1,000 meters deep. I don't know that they are found. They enjoy 1,000 meters down.
They do like to dive.
Yeah, but they do like to dive. They'll go 300 meters down or 1,000 feet down or more, lasting 10 to 20 minutes. Although they prefer shorter dives, a 20-minute dive is like the Navy SEAL of sperm whales. You know, they feed primarily on deep sea cephalopods, crustaceans, and small fish. They're solitary in their social structure, but they could be found in small groups of 2, sometimes up to 10 individuals. Mother calf pairs are common, or small pods. They're shy and avoid boats and making friends with boats. So they're very rarely sighted. If you see one, if you've seen one in the wild, consider yourself blessed. Hashtag blessed. They produce clicks for echolocation, similar to other toothed whales, but less is known about their communication compared to like dolphins and other species. We know a lot about dolphin and communication. We know a lot about humpback whale communication. We don't know much about, we can't speak their language. They're often confused with closely related pygmy sperm whales, but the dwarf sperm whale is slightly smaller. If you said there's a dwarf and there's a pygmy, I would think the pygmy was smaller.
I don't know. I think it'd go either way. I mean, like I said, up until the 60s, they thought they were the same species.
True.
So they had to give one the honor of being the dwarf.
Right. Rarely they are observed at sea due to their preference for deep waters and tendency to avoid vessels, making most of their knowledge from secondhand accounts and stuff like that, like not
secondhand accounts. We interviewed an orca, and tell us all about the pygmy sperm whales.
I mean, scientist interviewed a fisherman or something like that. Yeah, secondhand to another species. Exactly right.
Secondhand lions.
So he could speak to us. Yeah, exactly. Their ink. Never mind. That's it. There's nothing about that. And there's nothing else interesting unless you have something.
I do. I'm naming this this major fact after the what you might say is Pixar's last good movie, Inside Out. Inside Out 1.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't know if Coco came out after that, in which case Coco would be the last one, maybe.
Coco's very good.
Whichever one came out last is the last good Pixar
2017
movie.
I kind of liked Soul.
I did not.
Anyway. It's not as fun.
Toy Story 4 is the only contender post Coco or whatever that it was for a good Pixar movie. So yes, I'm naming this Inside Out. The dwarf sperm whale has a special defense mechanism for getting away from predators. It releases a cloud of reddish-brown intestinal fluid when threatened. This makes a murky smoke screen in the water, but if that smoke is nasty juice.
Who doesn't, though? Can you really blame them?
I mean, who doesn't release a cloud of reddish-brown intestinal fluid?
Intestinal fluid, yeah.
Yeah. not me.
Things are going really poorly. I'll use that as a defense mechanism.
Okay. Yeah. If you can control that.
If things are going really poorly, I don't have to.
Yeah. That's just going to happen regardless. So this fluid is stored in a specialized sac in the whale's digestive tract. And it is ejected through the rectum when predators startle it. And this cloud, there's up to 3 gallons of fluid stored in this sac, and it can spread up to 3 feet in diameter, which obscures the whale's location and can allow it to escape, especially in the dark, inky depths of wherever it happens to be diving. This is obviously a similar defense mechanism to the ink clouds used by squid and octopuses. But this is not squid ink. That's mostly that's melanin-based liquid. This is thicker and more viscous, and so it lingers longer. It doesn't dissipate as quickly as it does for a squid or an octopus. This fluid is a mixture of fecal material and other digestive fluids, which also adds to it a foul odor that also can deter predators. So this is why it all comes together. We were talking about the Gimli fart scene in the beginning of this, and this is a dwarf that empties its bowels in front of predators. So and this is more of a frequent occurrence in younger whales who are more vulnerable to predation. But they do have they're small whales, which means that you got to keep an eye out for orcas. Orcas are the worst. If you are anything smaller than an orca, and they are also the worst if you are larger than an orca. Humpback whales also have to deal with orcas. It's just they're at the top of the food chain and they don't care. So just empty your bowels in their face and get away.
That's all you can do.
It's really, yeah. Especially when, because they're fast, they're strong, they're smart, they have sharp teeth, and there's a lot of, and they work together. Like, what are you supposed to do about that as an animal? Not much. The only ones that can do anything are the ones that are bigger, but then you have babies that are not bigger and you have to deal with that. Researchers believe that the repeated use of this defense mechanism depletes the whale's energy reserves and makes it more likely for them to be predated on.
They're ejecting
later on
their intestinal fluid. That's where their energy is. They're giving up their energy.
Well, and it just requires a lot of metabolic energy to produce and then store the fluid. So by releasing it and having to produce it again, over and over again, yeah, they're sacrificing some major survival mechanisms to make that happen, to make the very immediate survival happen.
You know, in the open ocean, though,
the most terrifying thing known to anybody. Yeah, sure. Open ocean. Tell me about it.
Okay, so you want to use this defense mechanism against a faster predator. You do it. The predator's in a cloud. The predator leaves the cloud and then just looks around. It's the open ocean. You're just there. You're there 100 yards away.
Yeah, but maybe you're behind there. Them or underneath them or above them. It's like, yeah, you got a Z-axis to work directions. With on this one. You're not just on an open field.
I feel like if I'm an orca, I'm just going to get there. Just going to look around aggressively and then get there.
But like the orcas, like a lot of underwater predators are using way more than just their eyes to find you.
Exactly.
And all of those other senses are full of your intestines.
Yeah.
So that's all they're seeing. True. Which is weird because that's what they were about to get anyway. Like that was going to be part of the package. So
maybe it's delicious. Maybe it's like if I was going after a jelly donut and it ejected its jelly at me.
Would you be like, I don't really want the jelly donut anymore.
Down the donut? I was about to eat a donut anywhere. I wasn't planning to run.
Did you get the best part? Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to leave the donut. And then you can farm the donut for jelly.
That's true. It's essentially like an ape hit in an ant. You're, yeah, it's cattle to you now. I'll open up a donut farm.
They are calves, right? They're well calves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, I just came across this article where it's like this miniature sperm whale releases a cloud of blood red fluid into the water whenever it's startled. And I was like, I got to know more about this. And the pygmy sperm whale does this as well. Those are the only two species of whale that are known to have this defense mechanism.
Nice.
I didn't even know there were dwarf or pygmy sperm whales. So the animal kingdom continues to surprise, even after, what, 390 episodes?
I know, yeah.
How do Something we still like have that. Stuff to talk about? It's because there's millions of species of animals.
That's
but
true.
But there have been hundreds of very interesting animals. And unique
exactly.
ones.
386. This is 300... No, this is like 387 or 8.
We're getting there. We've been doing this since 2017.
That's right.
Anyway, you got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, that was the dwarf sperm whale for you out there in Podcastia. Be small but mighty. Eat some juicy calamari. And use the contents of your intestines to escape would-be predators like the dwarf whale. Dwarf sperm whale here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
I just wrote dwarf whale. I don't know why I didn't put the most important part.